Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is The Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 13th of June, 2012. Hope you're having a good day, and hope it's a good afternoon for you. The home of The Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent talk station. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our program. We post it to three venues, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will lead off the show with a special edition of our Monday political face-off, breaking down the results of yesterday's special congressional election in CD8, the district that will soon be CD2, basically. Paul Eckerstrom is with me in studio. Bruce Ash will be on the Buckmaster Show live line. And at about 20 minutes past the hour, Jeff Rogers will join us. He's the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. 30 minutes past the hour, your water bills may be going up and will be going up, actually, very soon. We will talk with Alan Forrest. Mr. Forrest is the new director of Tucson Water. Then we'll wrap up the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday with our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Today we explore the question, should teacher layoffs be based solely on seniority? Good question. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can always call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Joining me in studio, Paul Eckerstrom, Vice Chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and on the Buckmaster Show live line will be Bruce Ash, the National Republican Committeeman for Arizona. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Some of your thoughts, Paul Eckerstrom, on the Barber victory. We talked Monday here on the Buckmaster Show on the political face-off. At that time, the public policy poll had just been released showing, I think, was it about a 12-point edge that Ron would win by?
Right. Yeah, that's right. I think it was a little bit oversampled with Democrats. That kind of explains why it was only an 8-point win. But the internals showed that Ron was going to win independents significantly. I think that's what happened yesterday.
Bruce Ash, are you with us?
Right here, crying in my beer.
Never too early on a day after the election when you lose, I guess, to grab a beer. Tell me, Bruce, some of your thoughts about what happened.
Well, I think Paul probably would concur. There were two things that happened. Number one is that Ron Barber retained, I think, close to 95% of all Democrat voters on his behalf, and Republican voters bled off almost 19%. And that's pretty significant. And you know, some of that, and you know, we're all kind of talking here for listeners and for ourselves to kind of understand what happened. Part of this has to do with lack of party discipline that exists within the Republican Party. There were 17 either former or current elected Republican officials who supported Ron Barber. And when that happens, you have a situation where, you know, they have some sway over Republican voters, and too many of them in this particular election voted for Ron. And the second part was, as Paul described, regarding independents and PMDs, I think it sort of defied some of our logic that we would have, you know, at least a 60-40 split going over to Democrats, considering the last couple of years. But, you know, I think Ron and Gabrielle Giffords, you know, they made a case in this election for Ron completing Ms. Giffords' term, and they must have made a pretty compelling argument, because that's what the voters decided to do. And you know, the best poll of all is not the one that's taken out in the field by a bunch of guys on telephones. it's one where voters show up. And, you know, for now, for this election, it's over, and we plan for the next, and we look back at our mistakes and hope not to repeat them in the future.
Go ahead, Paul Eckerstrom.
Yeah, Bill, I think there's a combination going on here. I think people had a lot of reservoir of goodwill for Gabby and Ron.
Do you want to address first? He said that 17 prominent Republicans switched over to Ron Barber. One of them will be with us tomorrow, former Mayor Walkup, on the show, and then another one of them will be with us on Friday, Steve Kozacek.
I think it was a rejection also of what I think is extreme Republican positions now on basic issues, and this is a national trend. I mean, Romney has endorsed the Paul Ryan budget. This was basically Jesse Kelly's agenda was Paul Ryan's budget. Phase out Social Security and Medicare, which he said 2 years ago or a year and a half back, I guess two years ago on your show on Arizona Illustrated, that's what he wanted to do. And this, by the way, this is the 11th oldest district demographically in the country. And there's a lot of retirees here, and I think that was part of it. But that would phasing Social Security and Medicare out is to fund further tax cuts for really wealthy people. That's what the flat tax is about, is bringing all this stuff to the middle class, putting the tax burden on middle class, shifting it from the wealthier people in the country. And all of this was rejected outright by Republicans crossing over, independents. This is a Republican district. It's a moderate district, but it's a Republican district. I think it was an outright rejection of the Republican national agenda to shift the burdens of government onto the middle class away from the rich. And I think that's significant because I think that bodes well for Democrats in Arizona, especially in southern Arizona, in the election cycle in the fall.
Bruce, go ahead.
Well, let me give a little different version of what Paul said because the phenomena that we saw is sort of played out all over the country. You know, a lot of people blame politicians for where we're at today with our deficit and, you know, taxes and so on. It really, you know, but they're all driven by voters. They're all driven by special interest groups. And when you look at the 2012 budget, nearly 65% of every dollar spent, or borrowed in this case, because 40 cents of every dollar spent are borrowed dollars, but 65% of every dollar we spend on this budget goes to Social Security, Medicare, VA, Medicaid, SCHIP, plus payment on the debt. In 3 years, that's going to go up to about 72-73%, and that's assuming we don't have any big increases in debt costs. It's an unsustainable kind of a glide path we're on, and Paul, you know, I'm going to get a little bit in your face when I say this. The richest 10% who are already paying about 80% of all the federal revenues, Paul. Even if we taxed them, okay, 150% of every dollar they earn, we'd still have nearly $750 billion deficit at this time, because of where our entitlements are. I'm not going to defend the Ryan plan, and I'm not going to defend the Democrats either. But we have to sit down together, and we have to figure out a way so that Social Security and Medicare, but particularly because those are the two biggest, along with Medicaid, we need to make sure that we are changing those programs so that our country can continue to defend ourselves, to protect our borders, to build roads, to educate children, you know, all of the other things we do.
All right, Bruce.
If we don't, we're not going to be able to do anything.
Bruce Ash with us and Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, you know, Bruce, I don't disagree with you, and I don't think Democrats disagree with you that entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security have to be readjusted. But you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater and eliminate them or change them so significantly that they aren't really Social Security and Medicare anymore. And that's what the Ryan plan does. That's what Mitt Romney's plan does. That's what Jesse Kelly basically said. And that was rejected. Yes. Is there sacrifices that need to be made? Adjustments need to be made? Yes. And do we have to do it together across party lines? Yes. And I think Ron Barber made the case that he's willing to do that. But one of the things I have to say is, you know, the tax burdens have been lifted under the Bush tax cuts from the wealthiest folks over the last decade. We were doing fine in the 90s with a little bit – them contributing a little bit more than they are now, and we had a balanced budget. I think it needs to be a balanced approach in all of this to balance the budget. But the unfortunate thing is the Republicans are absolutely on the national level saying no way, no how are we going to raise taxes in any way back to the 1990 versions. And on top of that, they're doubling down. Mitt Romney not only wants to emplace the Bush tax cuts forever for the wealthy, he wants to give even more tax cuts to the wealthy, which will destroy the budget. It will destroy any chance of ever balancing the budget in the future.
Paul, the problem is that 47% of Americans pay no federal income tax. We can argue and we can tinker around with what the richest 10% of Americans pay, but
they own the country, Bruce.
At the end of the day, no.
They own the country.
No, they don't own the country,
they do.
Paul. And you know,
look at the Bruce, statistics.
The election was over yesterday.
Bruce.
You know, we're not quite at November 6th yet. Let's talk about this in a rational sort of a way. The problem is, you know, you talk about fairness, okay? When 47% of Americans pay zero income tax to the federal government, then the burden falls upon the richest 10%, 20%, whatever.
I'm more than willing to talk about,
however you want to put it.
I'm more than willing to talk about getting rid of loopholes for that 47%, but also for the very, very wealthy, so that everybody pays their fair share.
Paul.
And Bruce, let me tell you, this election, I think, was a rejection of that type of politics where we're
going to
shift the burdens of all of government onto the middle
class. Was it a rejection of that,
Bruce? No, I don't think so.
I think it was.
Well, let's turn our attention to the CD2 race that will be coming up. You're looking, Bruce Ashe, for Jesse Kelly to go for a third time, or what are you hearing?
I haven't spoken. I mean, obviously, I communicated briefly with Jesse last night, and I wish him and his family well in whatever they plan to do in the future. I don't know what his plans are at this time. You know, he and Colonel McSally, I believe, have qualified in terms of signatures to run. You know, I think everybody needs to sort of take a breath and take a little bit of reflection at themselves and see what they want to do going forward. You know, Jesse came close in the last election, not as close in this election. You know, and CD2 is a different district. You know, may not be quite as good a district for him, no matter what, you know, the message is. But I think that's up to Jesse and his campaign folks to decide what they want to do.
Let's take a break right here, and let's go. We'll be coming up with Jeff Rogers. He's the chair of the Democratic Party. Bruce, can you stick around with us for a few minutes?
Sure, I'm happy
Okay,
to.
Great. We will take a break right here. This is the Buckmaster Show on a Wednesday. It's kind of a special edition of the Political Face-Off. Stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 1220. Support for this portion of Buckmaster comes from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Paul Eckerstrom is with me in studio. Jeff Rogers joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, and Bruce Ash is also on our live line. Jeff, let's begin with you. Congratulations on this Democratic victory. What do you think the keys were, Jeff Rogers, to the Barber victory?
Well, I think this just exhibits that Arizona is a lot more mainstream than people think, and that people who are on either end of the extreme spectrum of liberalism or conservatism are not going to succeed, particularly in a district like this. There are a few districts around this state that are designed for Republicans to win, and the race to the right will give us the most extreme candidate, but this district is not one of them, and it's going to get even more moderate with the new lines that are drawn for the new CD2. So we saw a lot of crossover Republicans in this race. We saw the winning the independent vote by a large margin, and having an unusually high turnout of Democrats. Usually we lag behind Republicans. Even in years when we win, we don't turn out at the same rate they do. And this time we did. We had a virtual tie with them in turnout. So I think this is a good sign. You couple this together with the fact that we won the Phoenix mayor's race and the Tucson mayor's race by large margins last year, and then you add that to the Pierce recall, and I see Arizona swinging back to the center. I think that the Republicans have overreached over the last few years, and the voters are ready to toss them out. Except in a few really areas of the state that are where we have congressional or legislative districts that are built for Republican domination. And I'd say this bodes very well for us in the new LD 9 and 10, both of them centered in the city of Tucson. I expect we'll sweep both of those races this year.
Do you think Matt Hines now will step aside Jeff Rogers and get behind Ron Barber?
I'm hopeful that he will. I think he probably should. I think that the only scenario where he had any real chance was where it's a very close loss or win by Barber or a large loss by Barber, and what we have here is a very big win. I expect that if you extract the Saddlebrook, Oro Valley, and Marana from this, you're going to see that in the rest of the district that's left, he will have won by 10 to 12 points. So it's an even larger margin of victory if you take out those Republican bastions where we don't tend to do well. So the district is really going to favor Ron, and I think he's probably the candidate who ought to emerge from this, and we ought to really focus on winning the general election.
Bruce Ash, let's bring you in here. You just heard Jeff say this bodes very well for the Democrats in the fall.
Well, certainly
our whole strategy was if you win this special election, it would put you in a better place for the November election, and I agree with Jeff, it does. Ron Barber, though, for the November election will have a record, and there'll probably be somebody running against him without a record, and probably somebody who I would hope in the November general election would properly tie Mr. Barber, now Congressman Barber, to the votes that he takes in Congress, as well as his support of President Obama. And I think it'll make for a more even election, and I think it'll probably be much different conditions for Ron than what he had in this special election.
Well, it will be different. There'll be better conditions. The district improves dramatically in our favor, as well as
his conditions will change, though. But
he'll
have a record.
Well, I don't think so. I think
you won't have any votes
yesterday, Bruce, about you didn't think the Republican bigwigs were coming to a wake out here. Obviously, they did attend a wake at the Viscount Hotel last night. So I think we're going to. And if this was indeed, as you said yesterday on a radio show, some kind of a national referendum, well, the voters of this district seem to have weighed in on what side they're on.
I think that was on our friend John C. Scott's show yesterday.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul Eckerstrom, jump in here.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is that we were hearing reports, and in the Tucson Weekly kind of reported this, as well as some conservative blogs, that McSally was actually trying to get her supporters to vote for Ron Barber so that she could run in the primary because Jesse Kelly lost this race. I'm wondering if that's true, and Bruce, maybe you can enlighten us. If that is true, doesn't that create a rift in the Republican Party side of things between the McSally forces and the Kelly forces?
I'm not sure that ever happened, but certainly I think when we start breaking the election down, we're probably going to see a fair number of the same voters who voted for Gabrielle Giffords in the last election may have voted for Mr. Barber.
How would you like that matchup, McSally versus Ron Barber, Bruce Ash?
Well, I think provided that Lieutenant Colonel McSally presses the election and doesn't play defense and goes on the offense, and presses Congressman Barber on his record and on the president's record, I think that she may have greater success.
Jeff Rogers, when will the congressman-elect be sworn in? Do you have any of the particulars on that?
I don't. I heard them referring to sometime next week, but I'm just not sure how that happens. There has to be the Board of Supervisors and the Secretary of State have to do the canvass of the election. I'm not sure how quickly that can happen or you know what governs that, to tell you the truth.
Is this going to be an election that we'll look at as a record breaker when it comes to mail-in ballots? Does this really change things, Paul Eckerstrom?
Yeah, I think it reported in the Star that 75% of the votes, at least that were counted last night, came from early ballots, and I think after everything is counted, it's going to top 70%, and that's significant. And the turnout in a special election on June 12th, significantly high, near 50%. I think that bode well for Democrats, but it's interesting how if you make it easier for people to vote, they vote. And I think mail-in ballots make it easier for people to vote. And I hope Arizona keeps it in place. I know around the country other people are trying to take that away from the voters, early balloting and mail-in balloting. I think it's a good thing for our democracy, and I hope we continue it.
You agree, Jeff Rogers?
Oh, absolutely. I think it makes it much easier for people to vote. And we saw in the last year's city election how people embraced it. And it also saved, as my understanding is, it saved $600,000 in taxpayer money to do the vote-by-mail election in the city of Tucson. So, you know, it's a money saver all around. It makes it easier for people. And, you know, anything that makes it easier for people to vote, I'm in favor of.
Bruce Ash?
Well, I'm a Pebble voter, so I suppose I've bought into the system. Republicans and Democrats both, I think, did an excellent job growing their Pebble list in this election, and it's a precursor for the upcoming general election later this year. That both parties have done that, and there's an entirely different strategy, and I'm sure Jeff especially
is working a different strategy than maybe what he did or what the Republican Party, has done in prior elections. It's going to be a much different way that elections get run by the individual parties. My concern sometimes about early voting has to do with voter, election ballot security. As long as we continue to work on our ballot security, and I think both parties should be very interested in that, this could be a good thing. I don't necessarily think it should be easy to vote. The men and women who've given their lives to ensure that we can vote, it wasn't easy for them. I like walking into my polling place, seeing the people there, slipping that ballot into the machine myself.
Gotta go. Bruce Ash, Jeff Rogers, Paul Ekstrom. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, what about water rates? We'll talk about that with the new director of Tucson Water next.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. The U.S. isn't letting up on Russia on the issue of Syria. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's warning Moscow that it's putting at risk its vital interests in the region by blocking international action on a plan for Bashar Assad to give up power. As President Obama prepares for an economic address in Cleveland tomorrow, his Republican rival is charging the Obama's policies have hurt U.S. industry. Mitt Romney told a business leaders group in Washington today that Obama is anti-business and anti-jobs. A mobster who became an FBI informant and the basis for the film Goodfellas has died. Henry Hill was 69. His life as a small-time gangster was told in a 1986 book that was adapted for the screen in the Martin Scorsese film. On Wall Street, the Dow is down at this hour. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
coming up on 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition, Wednesday, and we are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. I love this part of the Southwest, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City, New Mexico. The elevation about a mile high. And by the way, that area is no longer impacted by the Gila Wilderness Fire. So much to do over there in historic Silver City. There's their historic downtown. There's arts, hiking, biking, exploring the Mogollon ghost town. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. What a great, cool weekend getaway this summer. There's more information on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, Tucson Water has a new leader. He is Alan Forrest. Mr. Forrest brings nearly 3 decades of experience in public utility operations and management to Tucson Water. Mr. Forrest began his professional career at Tucson Water in 1985, where he became chief planning engineer after 9 years. The last 7 years, he has spent as vice president and area manager for a Fortune 500 consulting and engineering firm managing their Tucson office. Alan Forrest joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Alan, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Well, congratulations on your new position.
Thanks. Real excited about it. Real anxious to, you know, kind of get back to my roots with Tucson Water, and just looking forward to working with all the folks here at Tucson Water.
Alan, let's talk about some of your priorities for the utility.
Sure. One of the things that I've tried to stress with staff as I've come in is that, you know, I hold Tucson Water in a special place, not only because I worked there many years ago, but Tucson Water has just always done a tremendous job managing a vital resource. And I'm really proud to come in as the director of this organization and continue the high professional history and commitment to public service that Tucson Water enjoys. So that's one of my main goals is basically to keep that going, that reputation, that focus on public service and community service. I also, this kind of goes along with that, but one of the other things that I've been stressing with our staff is, you know, I want to promote a sense of pride in the excellent job that Tucson Water does providing this vital service to our customers. You know, the stewardship of water, Tucson's most important natural resource, is a big responsibility, and I think this utility has done it well over the years. But I really stress that we want to do that. I want people to be proud to say they work for Tucson Water. I want them to be engaged in the community, and you know, that's why we're here, is to serve the community.
Alan Forrest is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Forrest is now the head of Tucson Water. If you'd like to join in the conversation, if you have a comment or a question for Alan Forrest, now is the time to let us know. 790-2040, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show. What about water rates going up, I believe, after July 1st? How high are they going, Mr. Forrest?
Again, this is my, I guess, 7th day on the job, so I still have a lot of ground to cover. But my understanding is we're in about the 8% increase on the average bill. But really, what these rates are, we were trying to do is, given that a lot of our, you know, the demographics within our utility and the water usage, the averages, things like that have changed so dramatically over the last 10 years or so, that mostly what we did in this rate adjustment was just that, kind of adjusted how we bill for water and some of the blocks that we bill in. So really it was more of an adjustment so that we are more in line with actual water use that we see today, as opposed to just a straight increase.
And as far as the customer service, I know there had been some complaints about response time. Are you trying to address that?
Yes. There's been a real strong push for that over the last several months, and I'm happy to say that we have made great strides in improving our customer service, particularly our response times to calls and our number of dropped calls. We've probably improved those tenfold within the last several months. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to do there. I think we're now at a level that we can respond as well as any utility in the country.
There was also some concern. It was a highly publicized story a month or two ago about faulty, whether or not they were faulty meters, I don't really know, but people were getting like suddenly they'd get an exorbitant water bill. Are you going to be addressing that perhaps on a case-by-case basis?
Yes, actually, we are in the process of addressing that. And I guess I should start out by saying that I don't believe they're necessarily faulty meters or faulty bills. What we find is that sometimes they're unexplainable, but for one reason or another, an exorbitant amount of water does happen to run through a customer's meter, be it a leak or in the yard or maybe a toilet or something that just keeps running indefinitely. Sometimes we're able to pinpoint the cause exactly. Other times it's much more nebulous. We aren't able to. But given that these occurrences happen periodically with some of our customers, since 1976, we've had a program in place to help alleviate some of the, we call it a courtesy adjustment to the bill. One of the things that's changed, again, I mentioned that a lot of our water usage has changed, but also our billing structure over the years, so that we have a premium on the higher blocks of water use. Well, that created some issues with these high water bills for leaks, things like that. So actually, we are planning to go to council, our mayor and council, actually this coming week, next Tuesday, with a proposal to adjust how we calculate those adjustments and basically take the increasing block rate structure kind of out of the equation. So it should really provide a great deal of relief to some of our customers who unfortunately experienced those occurrences. Yeah, so we are actively addressing
that. That was sticker shock. I'll tell you, when I read about that story, I think all of us who get water from Tucson Water were worried about, oh my goodness, am I going to open my bill and see this huge rate increase? But probably the best thing, if you do get one that's out of the ordinary, to call one of your customer representatives and start the ball rolling there.
Exactly. And we're trying to be as proactive with this as we can. And you may even get a call from us. As soon as we notice that there's an issue of a high water use like that, we're trying to be proactive. So you may even get that call from us. But if you don't, please call our customer service reps, and we'll get the ball rolling, as you said.
Let's take a quick Buckmaster Show call in here. A question about, I think the question is about the block structures with the rates. Go ahead.
Yes, we are a large family. There are 10 of us. And we noticed that we were having high water bills. So a couple of years ago, we took you up on the service of having someone come out and evaluate how we have our trees on the drip system and check out different things in our home. And, you know, the guy basically said, you're doing everything that I would want you to do. You just happen to use a lot of water. And I understand that. And, you know, there are things that come with a large family. I'm not bickering about that. But is there any kind of appeal that we can make to say, hey, we're not a family of four using copious amounts of water?
You're wondering about the appeal process. Go ahead, Alan Forrest. Is there an appeal process?
To my knowledge, there is not for that circumstance. Like I said, if it's a real unusually high water bill in one given month, there's definitely an appeal process. But I understand what you're saying. I just at this point, I'll have to research that, but I don't believe there's any kind of appeal process based on the size of family and their associated water use. We really are just try to be as fair and equitable across the board, and it's kind of hard to look at these things on an individual basis when we have over 200,000. It's also based on our historic water use, how we bill. So in some ways, I think we try to take that into account because we look at what your historic water use and kind of try to categorize you in the blocks based on that. So it's not an appeal process, but we do try to look at that a little bit.
Okay. Alan Forrest, quickly running out of time. How do we look here as we come up to the monsoon season with our water supply?
I think we're looking real good right now. Our water supply as we move into the monsoon season, as we do every summer, we really put a lot of emphasis on making sure that all our equipment, all our production wells and associated systems are running, and we look to get our reservoirs, you know, in a full state. And so I think we're looking in really good shape as we move into our peak season.
Alan Forrest, thank you very much, the new director at Tucson Water. Have a great afternoon, Alan.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. 12:45.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
You seconds before 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the program brought to you by Adobe House Antiques. I love antiques, and I love this place, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. I love the early Arizona painters, the early 20th century painters who depicted this part of the country. The place to find that kind of art, Adobe House Antiques. The owner is Penny. Drop by and say hello in the Jostler Design Building, 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Well, should teacher layoffs be based on seniority? Perhaps you would like to call us about that question. If you have a comment or a question about that, 790-2040. Earlier this year, the New York State Senate passed a bill that would end the use of seniority as the sole factor for deciding which teachers are laid off. Similar measures are being considered elsewhere in the country. Let's talk about that now with Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. He is Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former head of Departmental Education Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy analysts at the master's and doctoral levels. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, and he was highly awarded while he was there, including being named Arizona's top superintendent in 1989. And Dr. Hendricks is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Bob, how are you?
Good. How about yourself, Bill?
Doing real well. What do you think about this question that I have thrown out there to our listeners? Should teacher layoffs be based on seniority?
Well, seniority has always been an important time-honored concept, I think, in most organizations. I think what makes it increasingly important as a discussion is that layoffs are increasing occurrences in this economy. And therefore, it begins to really become a major issue with large numbers of teachers across the nation being laid off, and raises the question, should the person last in be the first out? And critics say that shouldn't be the case, that experience shouldn't be the only criteria for retaining a teacher. And there are 18 states. You mentioned New York State. There are 18 states that actually prohibit the practice of laying teachers off simply based on experience. And we happen to be one of those states in Arizona. A fairly recent statute says that teachers need to be viewed from the perspective of their experience, but also the perspective of their performance, and that's part of the evaluative system that Arizona schools now have to address, and that is that 50% of the basis for retaining or releasing a teacher is based on performance.
Well, supporters of this by should teacher layoffs be based on seniority say that this would eliminate young and effective teachers and protect ineffective teachers. What do you say to that?
Well, it is an issue. It's an issue. And I think it's an issue in many organizations. Part of the problem, I think, is that you do have teachers, and we can certainly remember some of our own personal experiences that really clocked in and clocked out. And in personnel, we call them people who quit and stayed. They're just going through the motions. And should those people be allowed based under the protection of long-term status? And I'm not using the word tenure anymore because that's not it's a non-existent term in the state. But should they be allowed to stay simply by virtue of their length of time in the district? And I would agree that experience is a critical factor in terms of faculty on your staff. But if you have a person who simply is not producing, there ought to be easier avenues to say goodbye to those individuals.
Would you agree that a mix of seniority with performance would work best to help ensure the most fit and experienced teachers remain?
Absolutely, and that's what our current statute in Arizona calls for, that administrators are now required to look at a balance between experience and performance, and how are students progressing in the classroom? And there are ways to measure that. They're not as clear. They're not as defined as I think they ought to be. But I think we're moving towards a good mix of looking experience as one of the factors, but not the sole determinant of whether a teacher remains in the classroom.
You know, I wanted to change the subject here briefly on you, Dr. Hendricks. TUSD is saying they're facing a real budget issue crisis, and they are having this problem with the declining enrollment. That's a serious issue for this district, isn't it?
It is. It is. And therefore, you have, it brings again this issue of layoffs. Who goes and who gets to stay? And districts now have the authority as well as the responsibility to make those decisions. I question how much of that is happening in the state yet, because it's a fairly new regulation. But ultimately, districts are going to have to identify people who are non-productive or minimally productive in school district, and they could be experienced teachers or less experienced teachers, but that's not going to be the sole criteria anymore for teachers being able to retain their jobs.
And it's very difficult, of course, for these teachers, because this is the time of year, isn't it, when their decision on their future is coming up, right?
It is, and unfortunately, because of the way that the budget is structured, and because there is, it's very hard to predict enrollments. These folks who have relatively little experience in the district are kind of tethered and left, hanging until a decision is made. And for some of those individuals, they're still waiting, and this is not a comfortable time to not know whether you're going to have a job when school starts in August.
Is there still a lot of interest at the University of Arizona with young people who want to go into this profession?
There are, but that has been cyclical, and I think in the current economy, there's an increase in numbers of people who are interested in becoming teachers, but then you weigh that against the fact that there may be fewer jobs. And so there certainly were economic times where there were more jobs and there were fewer people wanting to be teachers. So it never seems to be quite in balance. So the demand seems to be lower at this point. There seems to be a higher increase in people wanting to enter the profession. And again, it's hard to generalize about that, because There is a significant need for teachers in certain academic content areas, particularly in the sciences and in mathematics. And that doesn't seem to be where we're drawing many of the candidates.
And we are 25th when you look at the whole world when it comes to where we are with science and math. We've got a lot of work to do, don't we, in this country?
Right, and the problem is that we still seem to have a real mismatch between people who have those talents in the science areas and who are willing to enter a profession that doesn't have isn't as lucrative economically. We see people with those talents going into the private sector where they can make much more money, or those entering the teaching profession and only staying for a short period of time and moving into a different area where they can make more money.
Dr. Hendricks, thanks. It's always a pleasure.
And always a pleasure. Thank you.
And in other education news, we do want to point out that Miguel Cuevas, Cuevas was voted the new president of the TUSD governing board last night. We will try to book Mr. Cuevas on the Buckmaster Show in the immediate future. Bottled water on Buckmaster, provided by Culligan, offered the best drinking water and largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We like Culligan water. Why? Well, it's easy. It simply tastes better. Culligan water. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Michael C. Flowers, he's the guy. He'll be with us next week talking about 25 tips that you should be thinking about if you're doing a small business. And I'm a small business owner, so I'll be very interested to hear what Mr. Flowers says next week on the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.